It's 7:44 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Move over, white-tailed deer. There's a new quadruped moving slowly into the coal fields of southern West Virginia. We'll hear more about that in just a bit. But first, these important updates about how the state and region is working to control the global COVID-19 pandemic. This is West Virginia Morning. K through 12 schools across the Ohio Valley are canceling face-to-face classes, extending spring break, and taking other measures in response to the coronavirus threat. That leaves parents and educators scrambling to meet some unexpected challenges. Becca Schimmel reports.
Ashley Blankenship has two school-aged children in Athens, Ohio. One attends the Beacon School for Children with Developmental Disabilities in Athens. When the state announced school closures, she says her biggest concern was losing access to the services and education for her two boys. Her son Peyton receives multiple types of therapy at Beacon and isn't able to access those resources while the school is closed.
Obviously, yes, we do have concerns about this lapse in his therapy time. He receives speech therapy, OT, PT. You know, he's made a lot of progress.
Blankenship says they're finding ways to occupy their time and continue their children's education with online resources. In Kentucky, many school districts are heeding Governor Andy Beshear's call to close, which means parents who are still working need to find childcare. Mike Hammonds is vice president of advocacy at Learn and Grow, a nonprofit in northern Kentucky that provides childcare. The nonprofit is asking the state if it can take on more children to accommodate working parents. Hammond says he's worried about what would happen to childcare providers if Beshear orders any of them to close.
I mean, if they close, that could really hurt childcare providers, especially some of the smaller providers. If they have to close for any length of time, it could bankrupt their childcare centers.
West Virginia Governor Jim Justice announced on Friday that all public schools there will be closing.
And that is a breeding ground. We know that, and they can go right straight back and go to their grandparents or whatever it may be and cause a real life problem.
Justice says the state is ready to take care of at-risk kids and those who could go hungry without school lunches. There's an effort across the Ohio Valley to provide some meals for children while schools are closed. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel.
Governor Jim Justice updated statewide school closure plans over the weekend in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Glennis Board has more.
Schools will remain closed until at least Friday, March 27th, according to a joint announcement from the governor's office and the State Department of Education. No return date for students has been set, but essential staff, determined by each county board of education, are working today through Wednesday to develop plans for students. Essential personnel includes transportation, custodial staff, and food service staff who are working to ensure child nutrition efforts continue for the over 200,000 students who rely on school meals for their daily nutrition. County boards of education are authorized to use school buses to transport meals to students throughout the duration of the closure. All teachers, staff, and school service personnel will report to work Thursday, March 19th, and Friday, March 20th. County leadership teams are considering several approaches to ensure education continues for students, including distance learning, telecommunication, electronic communication, and traditional paper instructional packets. The West Virginia National Guard and the West Virginia Department of Agriculture say they are also prepared to support counties however they need. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glennis Board.
For more information about COVID-19 prevention and more, you can call the state's toll-free hotline at 1-800-877-4304 or visit coronavirus.wv.gov. The governor's office has scheduled a news conference for 2 o'clock this afternoon. The city of Charleston has declared a state of emergency as part of its response to coronavirus. Carol Lofton reports.
Charleston's state of emergency was issued despite West Virginia reporting no confirmed cases of the virus. However, testing has been extremely limited. West Virginia health officials say 41 residents have been tested for the disease. As of Sunday night, 38 tests yielded negative results, with 3 results still pending. Those numbers do not account for testing conducted by some hospitals or commercial laboratories. According to a news release, Mayor Amy Goodwin signed a proclamation Sunday that allows city officials to issue emergency policies and mobilize resources such as personnel, services, and equipment. The emergency declaration allows Goodwin to call for changes to be made to upcoming city council meetings. She's called for Monday's council meeting to be held electronically in lieu of taking place in person. City officials say the state of emergency will remain in place until a similar proclamation is issued to rescind the measure. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
In an effort to slow the spread of the coronavirus in the state, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine announced mass bar and restaurant closures. Corey Nollinger has more.
Republican Governor Mike DeWine says bars and restaurants must remain closed indefinitely.
If we do not act and stop and break up these groups and get some distance, people, if we do not do that, our healthcare system in the state of Ohio will not hold up.
Despite the order, restaurants will still be allowed to serve food through takeout orders or drive-thrus, but will not be allowed to have customers who dine in. Lieutenant Governor John Husted says the state will waive the one-week waiting period for unemployment benefits and will broaden the state's definition of unemployment to include those under medical quarantine or under quarantine by their employer. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Corey Nollinger.
The West Virginia Elk Reintroduction Program is into its 5th year, and the project isn't growing as fast as expected. However, there is a herd in the southern coalfields that's slowly getting bigger. Much of the elk program is modeled after Kentucky's, which is over 20 years in and estimates a nearly $3 billion hunting and tourism boost to the economy. Folkways reporter Caitlin Tan spent some time exploring the future of West Virginia's herd and its effects on the state. Here's the story.
The Department of Natural Resources crew who oversee the West Virginia Elk Project are driving me through the back roads of Logan and Mingo counties in the heart of the state's southern coal fields. We're on the over 35,000-acre Tomblin and Laurel Lake Wildlife Management Area that's mostly reclaimed strip mines. Randy Kelly, the DNR elk biologist and leader of the program, says there's about 80 elk on the reclaimed mines.
So what happened was they got here and wanted to mine coal, and they couldn't. There's an elk right there. See, over there? Okay. There, you've seen your first elk in West Virginia. You have not even got out of the truck yet.
And on our left is actually one of the few active strip mines in this area. Logan Klingler, the DNR wildlife manager, explains as an explosion goes off.
The state's up in the 80s% forested. Like, we're just, that's an old mine blast.
Shot going off.
See it? Blowing up rocks, and they're going to go mine it. And then they're going to put it back together, and they're going to put grass on top of it.
Which is actually preferred elk habitat, called early successional growth. Basically open areas with freshly seeded grass that aren't heavily forested. Something that West Virginia doesn't naturally have much of. West Virginia's elk herd was brought in from Kentucky and Arizona between 2016 and 2018, after a number of eastern states began reintroducing elk. Before the Civil War, before industrial development, elk were common in Appalachia. The rugged landscape was spotted with the 700-pound light and dark brown creatures bugling during mating season in the fall. Now, that's actually a recording of an elk from the National Park Service. They only call out like that in the fall. But also, we didn't end up seeing any elk up close, just the one in the distance from the truck. Our goal was to accompany the DNR guys as they located and shot elk with tranquilizer guns to put GPS tracking collars on them. The collars give the guys information about how the elk are adjusting to West Virginia, like where they are eating and drinking and bedding down, or if they're staying off the roads. Randy says he and the crew go out most days in the winter to put collars on elk that don't have them already. But they are wild animals.
And sometimes, like today, there are no elk.
So we're skunked for tonight. Sometimes you get the dog, sometimes the dog gets you. The dog got us tonight.
The herd is also smaller than biologists had hoped it would be by now. They received grants from organizations like the Conservation Fund, the Wildlife Restoration Program, and the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, with the goal of reintroducing elk to southern West Virginia during a 5-year time span. However, Kelly says other states aren't willing to give up their elk right now, so West Virginia has seen no outside additions to the herd since 2018. And this pushes back one of the main goals of the project, which is to introduce an elk hunting season to West Virginia. Although Kelly says he has high hopes for elk-related tourism, as there's already been interest in tours of just the wildlife management area, without even a guarantee to see any elk. But with the state surrounded by successful, longer-running elk reintroduction programs in Kentucky, Virginia, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina, is it realistic to expect tourism numbers to soar in West Virginia? Sarah Cottingham is a West Virginia-based community planner at Downstream Strategies who specializes in outdoor recreation planning. And she says maybe.
I would not at all say that that means West Virginia couldn't be competitive. I think with targeted marketing and like aggressive pushing, that it really could be a successful destination. And I do think that adding elk tourism to that portfolio of what we have to offer would really enhance everything.
And Randy Kelly, the Elk Project leader, says there's more to it than just the economic benefits. It's restoring a species that was once native here, kind of adding to that magic of wild and wonderful West Virginia.
I've seen elk on TV. I've been out west. I've driven through Yellowstone, and seeing elk at home is a whole lot different. Or hearing an elk bugle in your home state, you know, as it echoes through the hills of West Virginia, it's you know, it'd make the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
As for the local community, Kelly says most are supportive. John Burchett, a resident from Williamson, says he's hopeful the program will help the Southern Coalfield's lagging economy.
The post-coal economy is going to be kind of tourism-based, and the more things we have to do, the more entertainment, more adventure tourism that we have, the better off we'll be, and the elk program is a big part of that.
Although some local deer hunters have expressed concern about the ability of the elk to coexist with white-tailed deer, says Jake Wimmer. He's the DNR elk technician, and he says that so far the way the two animals use the land is different.
Deer are browsers, and elk are primarily grazers. So your deer are going to be, you know, in the hardwoods during a nice mass drop year eating acorns, while your elk are still going to be out on the strips, out on the plains, and grazing for the good grasses.
However, the DNR recently reported a third of the elk from Arizona, about 15, perished due to the East Coast's deadly brainworm disease, which white-tailed deer happen to be the host of. It's a snail or slug that animals can ingest from grazing, and it rarely affects deer, but typically will kill an elk. Researchers estimate about 10% of elk herds in the East fall victim to brainworm, albeit West Virginia is experiencing higher rates. Kelly says it could be the stress the Arizona elk underwent traveling 33 hours cross-country and adjusting to a new environment that lowered their immune systems. Jeff Larkin is a professor of wildlife ecology and conservation at Indiana University of Pennsylvania. He worked with the Kentucky Elk Reintroduction Program back in the late 90s. He says he saw higher rates of brainworm in the early years there, too.
You bring in 1,000 animals and you lose 100. Yeah, it's 10%, but you still have 900 animals to reproduce and replace what's happening there, right? It's not like great for the population. It's just that the population can withstand that.
But West Virginia's elk population is still relatively small, around 80 elk. And every disease and death means the herd could be less resilient in the years to come. Growing those numbers without bringing in more elk from out west takes time. In Pennsylvania, for example, 177 elk were reintroduced in the early 1900s, and about 100 years later, the herd is thriving at around 1,000. And while the West Virginia biologists hope that it won't take that long to grow the West Virginia herd, they admit that the project is a little behind in their initial goal to reach 150 elk by the end of 2020. But in the meantime, they're maintaining the herd they do have, Plus, Kelly says he expects West Virginia-born elk calves this spring. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Caitlin Tan in Logan County.
This story is part of our most recent Inside Appalachia episode that looks at humans and nature and how complicated yet beautiful that relationship can be. It's called Tapping Into the Love of Wild. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our news director and producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.